fellow we've had on, boy, from the beginning of spring training as we go through this journey of a baseball season. That's Barry Bloom. He writes for Forbes.com. And, Barry, this trading deadline is coming up. We saw the big move with Machado to the Dodgers. Dodgers seem to be still in action. The Mets moved Familia yesterday. He's probably here in the ballpark in Oakland. A lot of stuff going on, and you're on top of it.
It's just getting started, Marty, and good morning to you out there.
Yes, good morning to you, wherever you are. But what do you think?
New York.
Yeah, what do you think of the Machado trade for the Dodgers? Is that it for them? Does that make them the clear-cut favorite in this thing? Is that the missing piece? What's your take on it?
Well, you know, they're 1-1. I think people have, you know, a tendency to believe things like that. But, you know, I think the Dodgers are going to ride on, you know, their pitching just like everybody else. And if Clayton Kershaw doesn't become a facsimile of Clayton Kershaw the rest of the season, they're going to have difficulties winning the division.
Okay. All right. Very good. You heard from Barry Bloom. Always a good opinion. You're there in New York. What's the reaction to the Familia trade here? And also someone that we know quite well is Cespedes. All of a sudden, he's dropped the bombshell that he's going to need surgery on both heels. What's the New York reaction to that?
Oh, it's been an uproar, and you know, the Mets couldn't have handled the whole thing worse than they did. You know, this is an organization that, you know, 2 years ago, right before, or this actually 2015, before they got Cespedes, you know, had made a deal sending Wilmer Flores to Milwaukee for Carlos Gomez. It leaked, and Flores found out about it in the dugout, went up to bat crying. Terry Collins didn't know what was going on. They pulled him out of the game, and then by the time the game was over, the deal never came through. And you know, it was the oddest situation the other night where they held Familia out of the game on Friday night at Yankee Stadium. You know, everybody in the bullpen starting to come over to him and to wish him well. He's in the clubhouse, and reporters and players, teammates are coming over and wishing him well. And the trade wasn't made for another 18 hours. So it's like, do you know how to do anything? And plus, with the Cespedes thing, there's been ongoing conversations with the beat writers and the writers in New York about actually what's wrong with this guy. And the Mets didn't divulge that there was anything wrong. They kind of hinted that there have been long-term problems with his heels, but then Cespedes drops it and says, you know, I have problems with my heels that I've had for the long time, and I've learned that that's what's really causing my problems in my legs. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I've got calcium deposits in my heels, and I probably need surgery on it, but I haven't done the surgery because I'll be out 8 to 10 months. And then nobody in the Mets organization, except for Callaway, was able to address this yesterday, in this situation. So, I mean, it's left a big gap. You know, you have fans up in an uproar about what's going on with the Mets anyway. And, you know, we're still waiting for word on what they're going to do with this guy.
Well, being in New York, and I said this to you earlier in the week as we traded some texts, anytime the Yankees are, and I say desperate, now Sonny Gray pitched yesterday, not great, but was okay. But they're 4.5 behind Boston. And who knows where Boston's going to end up in another 6 weeks with their pitching staff, and can they maintain 69-31? They didn't get to 70-30. Probably not. So the Yankees would love a pitcher, and you're in New York. Syndergaard, DeGrom, I can't think the Mets would ever be like the Giants trading with the A's or Giants-Dodgers. It just doesn't happen. But is there a pitcher out there for the Yankees that could be a difference maker? Well, what do you see the Yankees doing here? Because when they need somebody, when they're backed against the wall, I don't think anything stops them because they want to win the World Series. That's their goal. So what do you think?
I think that, you know, under the old man, you know, they would have gone out for the best pitcher available and damn the future, because that's the way he always was. So if the Giants dangled Madison Bumgarner, just for argument's sake, I think the old man would go out and make that deal. But under this organization, under the kids, especially with Hal running the team and Cashman, it's not the way they operate. You know, they're not going to give up a lot of the future for trying or to win or desperately trying to win the World Series under these conditions right now. I mean, if you look at the history of, you know, Cashman's recent trades, it's trading people in the organization that they really don't value for something that they do value. And, you know, I can give you the examples of John Ryan Murphy for Aaron Hicks, and they traded Adam Warren to the Cubs for Castro, and then got Warren back with Torres for Chapman, and then re-signed Chapman. And, you know, there are just, they gave up Sean Green for Gregorius. I mean, they are really adept at doing this. And I don't see them giving up anybody that they value for the future for a pitcher that's going to help them in the short term.
Boy, interesting. Okay, that's one of the first takes I've heard on that, because I would think that they would be just the opposite. So let's see what they do over the next 10 days. That would be something to see. What was your take on the All-Star game and the way it was played, the home runs, and just you're very much in tune with that. I know you're going to be at the Hall of Fame ceremony coming up as well. But you know that part of baseball. What was your take on the TV ratings and everything that came around, Manfred, Tony Clark, the whole All-Star game thing? What did you think?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think all three events were really terrific. You know, when I say the future game, the way the home run derby came out with Bryce Harper, you know, under pressure to pull that thing out of the last 30 seconds that he did. And then, you know, the All-Star game being a slugfest. You know, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. I'm kind of tired of the whole discussion of where baseball is right now. I mean, yeah, you have shifts. Yeah, you have launch angles. Yeah, players have decided that to beat the shift, they're going to elevate the ball. So if you watch the game, even in a game like the All-Star game where there were no shifts employed, you know, players aren't going to change their approach to that game. So you get a lot of line drive base hits, you get a lot of home runs, and you get a lot of strikeouts because that's where the game is right now. You know, and it's fine with me because that's where the game is right now. I think it's very entertaining in itself to watch. And, you know, just like you, and you might agree with me or not, but I've been covering this. This is my 43rd baseball season, and I never remember an era in baseball where people were really happy with the game that year. And players who weren't, former players who weren't, who were happy with the way the game was being played right now. And now you have a whole plethora of TV analysts like John Smoltz who are, like, wrecking the game every time they're on the air because they don't like the way it's being played. But if you listen to David Cone, who does the Yes broadcast a lot, he's very in tune with the analytics and what's going on in the game right now. And I find that to be a pleasant surprise because you have to analyze the game in the context of where it is today, not where it was yesterday. And if you have to make adjustments, you make adjustments and move on.
All right. Well, very good. You know, my thought on the All-Star game is I would have enjoyed seeing something other than the three outcomes, the true outcomes, a home run, strikeout, or walk, and see some great defense. I mean, we saw great defense here last night in a game number 100 of 162, one of 15 in Major League Baseball yesterday. But I saw plays on the field. I said, my God, I haven't seen that before, and I'll remember it. And I think for the All-Star game, I didn't get to see that. And I think that was a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Well, it's because, you know, it just happened to be a game where there was no, you know, particular, you know, reason for there to be any great plays because there were no balls hit into the gap. There were no, you know, ground balls hit into the holes. I mean, there could have been, but I mean, it was a strange confluence of events in that particular game. But nobody can tell me that a game that was tied in the bottom of the ninth, that the American League took the lead on, you know, in the very late, and then won in the 10th, you know, with back-to-back homers, and you wind up getting the first Jewish MVP of the All-Star game since Al Rosen in 1952, and only the second one in history. You can't tell me that wasn't an entertaining game. I don't care.
No, it was. There's no question it had that element of it. I think the Segura home run brought back a lot of all-star moments of the home run. But as I said, I would have liked to see four hits in a row, just a little bit more. But it didn't happen. So ratings-wise, how do you know how it did ratings-wise?
I haven't seen, final ratings on it, but I think the overnight ratings were pretty good. I think there was some attention paid to it, but, in the story I wrote and the whole kerfuffle over Mike Trout and the fact that baseball would like to market him more, but he doesn't want to be marketed. And, you know, when you looked at the numbers and you say, okay, well, baseball, ESPN has a top 100 list of the most famous athletes in the world, and there's not a baseball player in the top 100. And then you look at the Forbes list of highest paid players in the world, and the top one in baseball is David Price at 41 and Trout at 64. It puts into perspective really where baseball is in the whole ethos of the society and where it is internationally, and it's got a lot of work to do to grow.
Well, I agree. We can save the Trout discussion for another day. We had it with J.P. Hornstra a little bit this morning, but I think he's great. I love the kid. I love the way he plays, and I think it's up to baseball to get his name out. But we could develop that story on another day. Well, enjoy it. So is next week the Hall of Fame weekend?
Yeah, next Sunday is the induction ceremony, and it should be quite a ceremony with, what are there, like five guys going in?
Yeah, so you'll be up there next weekend, right?
Right, I'll be up there. I get up there on Friday.
Oh, great. All right, well, I appreciate you being on today. We'll catch up with you next week. Very exciting time for baseball next weekend at the Hall of Fame induction. So, Barry, thanks so much.
Yeah, that's always my favorite weekend, and thanks for always having me on.
All right, Barry Bloom, Forbes.com, writes these columns every two or three a week. They're really pretty good, right on with what's going on in baseball. All right, more coming up. We'll catch you up when we come back right after this.